Please be seated. So in thinking about our own lives and what we do with them, I wonder what our life would be like if we never took any risks, if we never stepped out into the unknown or tried something new, if we never escaped from entropy and apathy. I wonder if we let ourselves say in situations, even if we knew they were bad for us, not that they have to be dangerous, but if we stayed in situations where we couldn't be ourselves, we couldn't use our gifts and talents, if we just hung out in places that were easy, that made us a little bit soft, that never made us wonder what else was out there in the world or what were our gifts and talents. Like, we never did anything that pushed us to realize what God was calling us to do, or not even that, if we knew something we were good at and we never ever pursued it. I think about, there's a man whose name was Elijah McCoy. He was born in 1844 in Ontario, Canada, as a freed black man. His parents had realized that they were pregnant with Elijah, and they had escaped on the Underground Railroad from Kentucky, where they were enslaved people, and had made it to Canada, and he was born a freed man. And the thing about Elijah McCoy is, if you've ever heard the term, the real McCoy, which is sort of a saying that says you're the real deal, you know what you're talking about, you are qualified and competent, you're the real McCoy. It came from this guy, Elijah McCoy. And the reason is because he has 57 patents. And the 57 patents he has have to do with the railroad. He is the reason trains run the way they do now, is because in about the 1900s, he invented new ways for trains to be powered and new ways for trains to be run. And this is a guy who had no formal education, really. His son of slaves who had escaped and who made it to Canada in some way. And this is a guy who, I wonder what would have happened if his parents had not taken the steps to escape being an enslaved person. What if they had just stayed in Kentucky? What if they had just continued to be enslaved people in a state that didn't necessarily follow the Emancipation Proclamation and outlaw slavery when they were supposed to, but continued to have slaves for a long time after that? What would have happened to Elijah McCoy? What would have happened to his parents if they hadn't taken that risk? Now, this is an awfully extreme example of a young, gifted man who found his calling and found his path and whose parents helped him by taking a risk. But if we think about our lives, what if we never took a risk? What if we stayed somewhere safe and never did anything new? If we never did anything that pushed ourselves? Because every single one of us, no matter how our brains or our bodies work, or how much education we do or we don't have, no matter where we live or where we come from, all of us have gifts. All of us have things that we can use in service to God. Because as Paul says in today's scripture, we're all given different ways of connecting to God. We're all given different ways of serving God. We all have connections to the Creator in some way. And so what if we died and we had never stepped out and done anything? What if we get to the end of our life and there is nothing to show for it? That we have never done anything small or big to push ourselves? What if, as we celebrate the death and life of Mary Oliver this week, as she writes about death, when death comes like the hungry bear in autumn, when death comes and takes all the bright coins from his purse to buy me and snaps the purse shut, when death comes like the measles pox, when death comes like an iceberg between the shoulder blades, I want to step through the door full of curiosity, wondering, what is it going to be like, that cottage of darkness? And therefore, I look upon everything as a brotherhood and a sisterhood. And I look upon time as no more than an idea. And I consider eternity as another possibility. And I think of each life as a flower, as common as a field daisy, and as singular. And each name a comfortable music in the mouth, tending as all music does toward silence. And each body a lion of courage and something precious to the earth. When it's over, I want to say all my life I was a bride married to amazement. I was the bridegroom taking the world into my arms. When it's over, I don't want to wonder if I have made of my life something particular and real. I don't want to find myself sighing and frightened or full of argument. I don't want to end up simply having visited this world. And it's interesting because to use our gifts, we don't have to knock ourselves out. We don't have to kill ourselves trying to see that we are endowed with special talents and gifts for God. We don't have to beat ourselves over the head because we all come from the same Spirit and we're all in service to the same God. And so again, as Mary Oliver says, you don't have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. We just have to let the soft animal of our body love what it loves. And what you love oftentimes is evidence of your spiritual gifts and talents in the world. Because we can use those gifts in service to others. And I would imagine Jesus at the wedding of Cana did not assume that he came to earth to be yelled at by his mom in front of his friends and then have to turn water into wine. I doubt when he was being baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him and said, "You are my son, in you I am well pleased." I doubt again that he would stand at a wedding in front of a lot of drunk people, because as tradition entails at these sort of situations, they had gone through a lot of wine already at this wedding. And so there was his mother yelling at him again in front of his friends. And if anyone has been yelled at by their mom in front of their friends, I'm sure Jesus, fully God, fully human, was just like, "This is not what I came here to do." But there he is, using his gifts and talents to change water into wine. But the best part about that whole story for me isn't that he used his gifts in that way. It's that it's the last sentence of the scripture. Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. And so I wonder, if you used your gifts and talents, how would your gifts and talents open up the heart of someone else? And sometimes, more importantly, how would using your gifts and talents in service to God open up your own heart? How would your heart open up to God in ways if you tried something new? If you escaped from the everyday and looked to God and said, "I am going to be someone who utters wisdom," or "I'm going to have faith by the Spirit," or "I'm going to work for the common good. I'm going to try something new in service to God." I wonder what our lives would look like if we just let ourselves, if we let go of control just a little bit and stepped out into the unknown and pushed ourselves to get to know God a little bit more, to get to know ourselves and the people in our community just a little bit more, to open our hearts so that we can open the hearts of someone else. Because we're made to do this together, and God has called us to use our gifts. So how can we challenge ourselves to figure out what those are? How can we challenge ourselves to then use them in service of the common good? That is our work as Christians, to figure out, what are we supposed to do with all this stuff? What are we supposed to do with this one wild and holy life? Amen.